Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. A lot was going on over the weekend, so a lot to dive into today. Where do you want to start, David?
Well, I just saw this, like literally just saw this a few moments ago. But, you know, all the campus protests going on around the country, and it's the, you know, free Palestine, pro-Hamas stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
At UCLA, there is another controversy, because, see, the students have these camps that they've set up that they're calling liberated zones.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It really is.
The unintended comedy is at an all-time high.
Oh, yeah.
And it got actually better. Okay? So this is at UCLA, and one of the activists posted this out thinking it made her look good and the Jewish students look bad.
Okay.
There was a protester in the liberated zone at UCLA with a potentially fatal banana allergy.
I read that. Okay, there goes my story. I was going to run this story today. Yeah, but no. This is the absolute most insane thing I've ever seen.
So then counter-protesters invaded the encampment. They invaded the encampment and saw all the no bananas warnings. The next day, they came back waving bananas like settlers waving machine guns and smeared bananas everywhere. Those crafty Jews and their bananas. Okay.
Banana allergy.
Well, sounds like
keep them away. Yeah.
Sounds like somebody needs to, like, leave then.
My gosh, man. You know what we can get to later since you brought up UCLA? It's probably worth another listen. Is that student, the Jewish student at UCLA, owning the professor there?
Yeah.
Who could not explain exactly what's going on right now? I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, I guess.
I'm a professor.
Yeah, I know. You're asking me, can someone help me with the answer? No, right. I'll try to answer it. She never does. Anyway, Ilhan Omar is out there. What's Ilhan saying?
Well, Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar.
Did something?
Oh, yeah, she always says that.
Yeah, she visited one of these liberated encampments. It's so stupid. The liberated encampments. And she was being interviewed while she was going and looking at these brave freedom fighters who have an allergy to bananas or something. She was asked about the anti-Semitism, actually, the angle of that, taking over college campuses.
Okay.
I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Okay. See, there you go. Yeah. Golly. I knew something was coming. I just didn't know how she was going to play it. Well, now I know.
Is that her version of Joe Biden asking for a ceasefire? Like capitulating to different people saying, hey, you got to soften the message a little bit.
A little bit. Even those pro-genocide Jews. Like, what in the world is happening right now?
There is no genocide going on. It's absolute nonsense. But people believe it. They don't know what's going on. I mean, anytime it seems that you have a reporter out interviewing students, and sometimes faculty, they don't understand exactly what's happening, well, in Gaza or what's happened there for decades. They just don't seem to get it. And another funny story, you were talking about this off air, Scott, that you've got some of these students that have been arrested now.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't mean it's going to cost us a job in the future, does it?
It's going to follow me around, this conviction? Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. We don't want that. And then what about the student loan forgiveness? In the future, is this going to hurt us? I mean, if Joe Biden wants to forgive our student loans and he gets elected again, does that mean we have to pay now? Yeah, real freedom fighters we're talking about here. Putting their lives on the line.
They're demanding their records be expunged. Demanding!
Unreal, man.
Shut up.
Well, you know, it just so happened, too, I was listening to an interview that Dr. Jordan Peterson had, with, and you've probably heard of this guy before. The founder of Hamas, it's his son.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's done several interviews in the United States. Probably butcher his name, Mossab Hassan Youssef.
Nice.
And laying out what exactly the Intifada is and what happens with kids, whether it's Gaza, West Bank, and what Hamas does with them at a very early age. They don't allow them to go to school. They're recruited in, basically, to Hamas. You know what? We'll get to most of it later. But as far as kids becoming part of the Intifada, do you want to hear like a little clip of this?
Sure.
Okay, roll it.
Many of the children got engaged in stone throwing, and this became our game. I was part of that game.
Huh?
And many of my friends got shot in the process, throwing stones at the IDF or what we used to call them settlers, just clashing. Of course, many civilians got hurt in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not want us to go to schools, and I did not understand why.
Mm-hmm.
What about the economy? What about the people who were forced to shut down their stores? And if they did not obey, they became traitors. And in the morning, they came back to their stores, and they were burnt down to ashes.
That's just a little clip. I mean, there's so much more of that to get to. That's what happens. That's what Hamas does in these areas. I mean, it's total intimidation. It's like a huge gang running everything, and you either get on board or you're in a lot of trouble. That's how it works, and that's what all these idiotic college students are out there protesting for. And part of that's sad. Part of it's laughable. Just depends on what mood you're in at the time.
Well, too. Yeah.
You know, it's just absolutely goofy. Meanwhile, big controversy that a lot of people are talking about, and this has to do with the freaking dog dying.
Yeah, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is being talked about a lot because, well, she wrote about killing a young dog after the dog killed a bunch of her neighbor's chickens. This is actually in her book.
Yes, it is.
So for some unknown reason.
Yeah, I think that's a really dumb thing to do, but I'm kind of dismayed by the outrage about it. Like, she didn't just go and...
I got to talk about a f***ing dog dying.
Right, she didn't just walk up outraged. To a puppy that tinkled on the carpet and blasted away. I mean, there was a violent streak in the dog, and unfortunately, sometimes you have to go to those lengths to stop a dog from attacking.
Yes.
I mean,
Dude, we've talked about this before. You grew up in a farm community, Scott, and so did I, and this sort of thing would happen. If a farm dog got into, you know, somebody else's animals, that was the end of the dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just part of life.
It's a code, an unspoken code. That's what you do.
At the same time, when you would tell those stories to other people, mm-hmm. you would see the reaction. Kristi Noem has to know that before she puts it in a book, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's not a very smart play on her part because, well, the headline on CNN, I don't know if you saw this, was, quote, Trump VP contender defends killing puppy. Okay, that's...
I mean... Golly.
That's so awesome. Of course that's what the headline is.
Like, one of those things, it's like the
There's
elements...
There's no context.
No, the elements of the headline are accurate, but very misleading because, again, she didn't just kill a puppy for no reason, okay? And... Anyway, there was a discussion on CNN on the morning show, and well, one of the anchors there wants you to know she's very saddened by this story.
Oh my gosh. Okay, roll this.
I have to say, this story just made me incredibly sad, Matt. I mean, like, there have been some notes about life on a farm. It can be different. Those of us who live here in the, you know, urban centers and et cetera, this is not something I've ever encountered. But we don't live in a time where she didn't have the option to put out an ad in the paper and say, or, you know, call her friends and be like, where can I find another home for this dog?
Oh, come on.
Like, I mean, what is she? What's up with Kristi Noem? I mean,
this was 20 years ago, correct?
Yeah, right.
Kristi Noem. Okay. All right.
What's up with Kristi Noem? I mean, so Donald Trump, you know, famously hates dogs. He will talk. He'll use the phrase like so-and-so should be shot like a dog. Like, is she trying to like appeal directly to him with this aggressive language?
Okay, there's so much going on here. Does Trump hate dogs? If he does, I honestly, we've covered Trump. I mean,
well, it.
unbelievably over years now. I've never heard the fact that he hates dogs. Does he hate dogs?
Well, I think it morphed from he just doesn't want a dog as a pet. Remember that was a minor controversy because he didn't adopt a dog when he was president and all that kind of stuff. So I think it morphed in their twisted minds that Donald Trump hates dogs. And that's why 20 years ago, Kristi Noem executed a puppy at the altar of her God King, Donald Trump. Like, what? Are you psychotic?
Wow. That's really something.
You know, they don't know because they haven't rule America. I mean, they don't know anything about it. Somebody getting shot on a subway. Well, that's sad, but, you know, not quite like shooting a puppy.
Oh, I know. It's like, okay, killing a baby, third trimester, eight
fine,
months along. Hey, you know, woman's right to choose.
That's it.
Farm dog?
Incredibly sad?
What's so sad? Makes me very sad. Jeez. Okay.
Pushed in front of a moving train. Well, you know.
Well, that's life in the big city, you know.
That happens, you know.
Yeah, that happens. But at Farm Dog?
Yeah.
Man, again, it's just
incredibly sad.
Yes.
Golly.
Meanwhile, and I missed this, Kamala Harris speaking over the weekend?
Yeah, well, she was on Drew Barrymore's show, actually.
You got a show still?
Yeah, Drew Barrymore has a talk show.
Yeah, well,
and Kamala Harris decided to talk about the pressures of being the first female vice president and how people make fun of her laugh. And I feel like it's kind of a straw man. You're not making fun of the laugh. It's more that she cackles at extremely inappropriate times. That's what's unsettling to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Apparently, some people love to talk about the way I laugh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I love your laugh.
Well, let me just tell you something. Oh, I have my mother's laugh. Oh. And I grew up around a bunch of women in particular who laughed from the belly. Yeah. They laughed. They would sit around the kitchen and drinking their coffee, telling big stories with big laughs. I'm never going to be... I'm not that person. And I think it's really important for us to remind each other.
Oh my gosh.
And our younger ones, don't be confined to other people's perception about what this looks like and how you should act in order to be, right? It's really important. It's important.
I love your laugh. And I love that message.
Oh, it's so great. You be you. What? Yes, queen.
What is the message, though? Because it just got...
I don't know.
It was, again, the words got stuck in the bingo tumbler.
Yeah.
And came out in a weird way.
Well, if you're a belly laugher, David, then you do your belly laugh. And you shouldn't be ashamed. It doesn't matter. Say you're talking about the Second Amendment, okay? And it's a debate. And you start laughing like you're just absolutely hammered. That's just who you are.
I mean, I would just say, hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Yeah, you be you. Just keep doing that. And then when other people point out that you're a complete dope, talk about, well, it's just hard to be the first female. And I came from a family of belly laughers. What a joke.
Belly laughers. Genetic.
I got something maybe funnier than that next.
Oh, honey, it's our favorite leak filter trusted pro, Matt. Matt, come in.
Hi, Mrs. Sparks. You wanted me to stop by? Is everything okay with your leak filter gutter protection system?
Okay. Of course, silly. We wanted you to stop by for dinner as our way of thanking you.
Yes, to thank you for that free gutter inspection, the free estimate, and what was the other thing?
That lifetime guarantee.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, those are just leak filter's policies. Everyone who calls leak filter gets a trusted pro to come out for a free gutter inspection and estimate. And every leak filter installation comes with a lifetime guarantee.
So it's not just us?
No, sir. We don't want anyone to worry about clogged gutters ever again.
You mean everyone gets this level of service?
Everyone. They just need to visit leafilter.com/vancamp to schedule their free inspection.
Okay, but you must be starving. You work so hard.
Ready to love your gutter protection as much as we do? Visit leafilter.com/vancamp and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Saw this headline. Islamic extremists attack and burn Christian homes in Egypt.
Holy smokes. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
oh man,
sad. I mean, you can get into the details of this story. The one thing I thought instantly was, you know, this isn't going to make national news here, and part of me understands why. However, if it was Christian extremists attack and burn Muslim homes in Egypt, I'm guessing that's a worldwide story.
Oh yeah,
because that would be something different.
Well, and suddenly there'd be a new chant on college campuses around the nation.
And how would that one go? I'm trying to think.
That would be about ending Christianity. The Intifada needs to be expanded. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's pretty wild. You know, Stagecoach was over the weekend. Don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, that's the music festival, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Were you even aware it was going on?
I saw something on it, but it was nobody I was interested in seeing, I guess.
Okay. I got to tell you, it wasn't like I was looking for it. I was trying to find a movie.
Right.
And it's on Amazon Prime. They had it rolling. And I'm like, oh, that's going on. I wonder who's playing. And I click on it right at the beginning of Willie Nelson and Family.
Oh, I didn't know they were playing it.
Yeah. And so I start watching. You know, my dad, man, I can't tell you how many times he's seen Willie. At least 10. And I'm watching him. I'm like, this is crazy. Because I know he was like 90. Actually, today is his birthday.
Yeah.
Sometimes he says, I have two birthdays. It's today and tomorrow, because he was born late at night, but didn't show up in the county till the next day.
Got it.
And I'm watching him. And he's, you know, playing guitar, he's sitting and singing. And that style, you can still sing when you're 90.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite the same, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And they're doing like On the Road Again. And that little solo, he's playing his acoustic and he's playing it. And there's part of me watching him going, he's laboring, it looks like. I mean, I don't know him. And it's almost like he could keel over at any moment, yet he still sounds so good for that age. It was remarkable. And all I'm thinking in my head is, there's a lesson to be learned here. Now, you can fill in that blank however you want. I know potheads are going to be like, I know what message it sends
right,
to
right,
me.
Right, right, exactly.
But I guess the message that was going through my own head was, just don't stop doing what you're doing.
Well, I think that's true, yeah. I was going to say that because he loves it.
Yes, it's like if you don't keep using it, you will lose it.
Right, it's an extension of himself, too. I mean, you know.
And did you know he's got a new song out?
He has a new album coming out, I think, right?
Yeah, Shotgun Willie.
Yeah.
Which, he got that nickname because he got in a gunfight with his crazy son-in-law who was abusing his daughter. Willie's had a life, man.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Shotgun, yeah.
But the song's called Made in Texas.
Oh.
I don't know if there's too many 90 or 91-year-olds that can still put out something pretty decent.
I hit the ground picking this old guitar. I was made in Texas, like Bob Wills saw it on San Antonio Road. Dance hall rhythms all in my soul. Tell everybody everywhere I go that I was made in Texas.
Oh, man, I just came across it. I'm really glad I got to see it. And I don't know. I got to look it up online. They gave, like, a video shot looking out into the crowd. It's like the sun's going down. the hair on Willie's arms has to be like 6 inches long.
Is it braided too?
It looks like he looked like a wolf man from the side. It was wild. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin show. I am. I'm going to look it up. Are you looking it up?
Wolfman Willie.
Wolfman Willie.
Well, I don't know, man. I was like, holy mackerel. Arm hair. See
wow,
if anything
yeah.
pops up.
I mean, he could braid it.
You see it.
That's some aggressive arm hair going on with Willie Nelson.
I was trying to tell my wife. She's like, what do you mean? I go, wait till they do the shot from the other side. She's like, oh, my gosh, I see it. It's like, why? Why doesn't someone tell him to trim it? I'm like, they probably never know. He's 92. Are you not touching my arm hair?
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Leave me alone.
He's lighting a doobie. It might catch on fire, though.
On Reddit, it says, even the dude's arms are growing beards.
The Denver mayor shouted down by protesters. That and much more coming up right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer. That's Scott Robbins. Mm-hmm. So the Denver mayor had some problems with protesters, David?
Yeah, well, pro-Hamas protesters took over a campus in downtown Denver, demanding that the University of Colorado Denver, Metropolitan State University of Denver, and Community College of Denver divest from Israel. They are demanding it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the mayor of Denver, Mike Johnston, showed up, and this dork, he shows up and says, we need to dialogue, we need to talk, I need to let you know that you can protest, but you gotta get the tents down, okay?
So another weak dude leader.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're so afraid of saying anything controversial. Mm-hmm. They tiptoe around this crap, and these guys, yes, they're weak. Yes,
they're just weak.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to make sure people can protest peacefully. We also have to have a campus that can continue to operate here. So our ask is we need you all to be able to pull down the tents. That is against the campus policy. You can continue to protest peacefully.
It's not an ask, bro.
No. This is what we're going to do.
That's how you deal with children.
Yep.
It's it's unbelievable to me.
You can continue to protest peacefully here once the tents come down. We have no desire to make any arrests for anyone. We want them to be able to protest. If the tents can come down, I need to finish talking, please. If the tents can come down in the next 30 minutes.
What's the idiotic chick saying?
What about the students who've already been arrested?
What about it?
Yeah, what about it?
Aaron? You're next. That's why I'm out here talking.
If the tents can come down in the next 30 minutes, we need you all to do that. The tents will be removed from the campus.
It's more of the same.
But we do need to be able
our
to
demands
move
are not
those.
Being...
Okay. So we go from that's our ask, and then you need to do it. No, mm-hmm. You from the get-go, dude.
Yeah.
The tents got to come down. Okay? If they don't come down, there's going to be arrests. That simple. How hard is that?
Apparently, it's impossible.
It is. You're right. Because they got to placate these people. They got to find a way to somehow get the tents down without, you know, upsetting the little snowflake minds that are out there screeching.
No. These people have been bred to believe they make demands.
I exactly. When I hear demands, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
You're not making demands. Nobody demands anything.
I saw a clip of this kid from Columbia. And as far as the money divested, you know, Israel, and we don't leave until our demands are met. Do you know who you are?
Right, exactly.
You're not in a negotiating position, dude.
It's more of the same.
But we do need to be able
our
to
demands
move
are not being
tests.
Met. What does that mean?
I have no capacity to meet
that.
Let me
just say right here.
I don't oversee this campus.
Let me just ask a question that you can't.
We'll be happy to help the job.
Right here.
Okay.
You can't deal. You can't.
No.
Hey, we're teachers and students out here.
So what? Yes.
You're teachers and students out here.
You got 5 minutes to get the tents down, or we just bring a blowtorch through and start blowtorching every one of them. That's the deal. Blowtorch a couple, and people are scrambling to get them down.
I mean, you can be a leader and do it in the nicest way without compromise to say, listen, this can't continue.
No.
We don't want to see you get arrested, but if you don't take the tents down and you don't move, you're going to get arrested. It's that simple.
And this tells every other campus in the country who isn't experiencing this yet to go ahead and do it because there's no repercussion.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
I mean,
unless
all these
your demands
kids
are met.
All these universities, I mean, it's just fed on social media all over the place.
It's
TikTok, it's Snapchat, they're standing up for justice at Columbia. What are we going to do here in fill in the state? We got to do our part, too.
And then you got Columbia going, well, we met with the opposition. We haven't come to an agreement yet. An agreement? There's no agreement here. We're not agreeing on anything. No.
Goodness gracious.
We're taking the tents down, or you're going to take them down, or we're just going to blowtorch them. You got a choice.
You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner was over the weekend.
Hilarious. And that's a knee slapper.
I don't pay attention to
it. I don't either. I forgot it was even on. Yeah.
But apparently, there was quite a gushing tribute to Joe Biden's decency.
There was. I heard it later. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Miranda Devine at the New York Post wrote a piece where she gives a few examples of where Biden is not really decent.
Yeah.
Of course they did this, too. The White House Correspondents' Dinner. Unbelievable. But to Miranda Devine's point, said helping your family sell out the country to shady foreigners for tens of millions of dollars and then pretending you knew nothing about it, that's really not decent.
Nope.
Or inviting millions of illegal migrants into the country and then lying that the border's secure. That's not
decent.
Inviting a transgender influencer to the White House who bears their breasts on the White House lawn. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Norms! Yeah. Allegedly sexually assaulting Tara Reid. Boy, the media just forgets about that, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Presiding over such a decline in decorum in Washington that cocaine is discovered at the White House.
Yeah.
And a Democratic staffer posts an X-rated video of his gay sex romp inside a Senate hearing room.
Yes.
Can you imagine if that would have happened under Trump?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Gosh, jeez. Oh, man.
Rewriting Title IX into a radical attack on girls and women.
That's very true. Yes.
Yes. Allowing White House and campaign staff to refer routinely to Trump as Hitler pig. Refusing to acknowledge your out-of-wedlock grandchild until forced to issue a statement as part of a child support settlement Hunter Biden struck with the mother and then failing to include the little girl in the annual family Christmas stocking lineup at the White House.
Yeah.
What a great grandpa he is. Mm-hmm.
Grandpa Joe.
Lying that the innocent truck driver involved in the fatal collision with your first wife was drunk.
He's done that for years. And she was at fault, unfortunately. Wasn't the truck driver had the right of way.
Right.
And he wasn't drunk.
But Joe Biden's such a decent man. Trump's not. You know that. I mean, she goes on, we could do this for a while. It keeps going. Well, refusing to provide Secret Service protection to Bobby Kennedy Jr., despite threats against him and the history of assassination in his family. Continually looking at your watch in boredom as the bodies of the 13 heroes come to Dover Air Force Base. Yeah. Allowing your dogs to attack Secret Service agents. Where was Christy Nome when we
were? Yeah, no kidding.
Man, oh, man. Unbelievable. All right, I know it's that point of the show. It's that time. We got to go around the table. It may not be the biggest story out there, but it got your attention. David, today, what's your story?
My story today, we'll go back to the campus protests. Last week, probably my favorite audio was this economics professor at Emory getting taken to the ground during the protest, and she's yelling out, I'm a professor! I'm a professor of economics! Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's hilarious. Yes. Now, CNN covered that today. Jim Acosta, he's got a show weekdays now, and they did not show what led up to this confrontation, and I'll paint the picture for you. What happened was this lady walked up to the cop, and I don't know if she actually touched him, but was reaching towards him on his gun side as he was down arresting somebody. Now, that's an obvious thing that even a professor of economics should know you don't do. You do not approach a cop who's in the middle of making an arrest, especially from his gun side. Now, another officer came in, saw it, came in, and said, you're going to be under arrest. She resists arrest, and he winds up taking her down to the ground in a hilarious fashion.
And this is being now portrayed as police brutality. Now, something I did not know is that in Atlanta, there's been this long-term protest going on for a couple of years now. Stop Cop City is what it is. They're staffed by people who call themselves the Forest Defenders. And there's a major EMS and police training facility that's being built outside of Atlanta. And
yeah, there have been a lot of problems there.
Yeah, I mean, they've actually had terrorists within that group. Now, people mm-hmm. from that group have actually shown up at these campus protests. So now it makes it even more obvious why the cops would be a little bit worried, because, I mean, there was an officer who was shot by these leftist lunatics not mm-hmm. that long ago. So, I mean, so now you understand a little bit more. But on CNN, oh, boy, this is just terrible. Here's Jim Acosta.
I still can't get over this professor who was thrown to the ground. What do we know about her? How is she doing? And what is going on with the cops there at Emory? It just looks like very heavy-handed tactics for a protest.
That is enemy of the people. That is propaganda. Because you can take little bits of a video and make it look like something that it's not. They do this all the time. That's disgusting, man.
Well, I got to tell you, I never laughed so hard as when David Van Camp sent us the video with Up Where We Belong from Joe Cocker, Jennifer Warnes in the background while they're hauling her off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a different protester who went.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was funny,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, so, yeah.
He's picked her up and state almost trooper, slinging him over the shoulder.
Yeah, state trooper was trying to arrest somebody. She went boneless, and he didn't even, like, break his gait. He just, like, picks her up. And just keeps hauling her away.
Like he's bailing out, like he's going to chuck it into the barn.
And then you've got somebody went back and added the video. Love lift us up where we belong.
It was really good.
All right, Scotty, what do you got for what's your story today?
What is the underlying cause for all these anti-Israel protests rolling across American universities, you ask yourself, and rightly so? You might want to blame this on ill-informed youth. Yeah, that's one of the problems. Others may look at this and go, well, there's a whole lot of anti-Semitism I wasn't aware of. You'd be wrong. The New York Post interviewed a bunch of experts on what the problem was, and they came to a conclusion. Campus protesters that are there right now were changed and shaped by the pandemic. It's the pandemic's fault.
It's COVID.
Yes, they grew up isolated and angered by the school shutdowns and social distancing, and they're desperate to find a connection. Some community and a voice. That's what experts are saying. The cause allows them to express their long-withheld rage. So they're just kids acting out because they're pissed still about the pandemic.
No, these are indoctrination centers.
Of course they are.
Okay, and you got to fight against something. So what was the reason, what was it, 2015? The Yale students were protesting against racist Halloween costumes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What caused that?
I mean, I blame Fauci for everything else, but I can't blame him for this one, okay?
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they're just trying to find a community. Kids. They've been locked up.
They don't understand what's going on. It's just stupid. Okay. For my story today, I was thinking of you, Scott, because what you do every night to relax yourself before you go to sleep, you say, is you watch an episode of Seinfeld.
Usually I do, yes.
Jerry Seinfeld was speaking about how the extreme left and PC crap is destroyed. Funny TV.
I agree.
And I could go on with it. Better off just, well, roll what he said in this interview. I thought you would enjoy this. And here he is.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it?
There is. Where is it? It's gone.
This is the result.
He may have dated himself just a little with those references, but that's okay.
This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. Mm-hmm. We know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
Have you had that experience?
Yes.
100% agree. 100%.
I think that's probably true.
He's right.
Yeah. Well, and think about how many comedy specials Netflix has. I mean, I don't even know if you could count them all.
And they usually are the big viewers, too. I mean, they're usually, the eyes are on those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, golly, man. He's absolutely right. Committee kills comedy. Committee.
Yes.
Kills a lot of things, but that's one of the many, yes.
Bonnie Willis back in the news. You'll want to hear this. Straight ahead. Being in debt is stressful. It's an anchor around your neck, and it can seem like there's no way out.
Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High-interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay it off, and insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck.
Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has a new strategy to help you erase debt easier and faster than you thought imaginable.
Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates.
Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get debt out of your life permanently without bankruptcy and without a loan.
Done with Debt are the experts in finding all of the options for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry, because some of those debt solutions are time sensitive.
Go to donewithdebt.com.
Think about how great it would feel knowing you get to keep your money and not watch it get sucked into the interest rate vacuum every single month. Get started at donewithdebt.com.
Donewithdebt.com.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib. Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
The Mark Lee Van Camp and Robin Show. Said it before, it's no secret. You spend less money on running your business, you get to keep more money. It's simple math.
Yeah, it's a tall order right now because everything is so expensive. That's why smart businesses are upgrading to NetSuite by Oracle.
Yeah, reduce costs and headaches with the number one cloud financial system.
NetSuite brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth.
You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite.
With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required.
You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Again, it's simple math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just head to netsuite.com/MVR.
That's netsuite.com/MVR. Did you hear Bonnie Willis in the news?
No.
DA in Atlanta going after Trump?
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing with Nathan Wade. She hired that lawyer. They had the affair. Yeah. And then she had to fire him. Well, she's being primaried. And there was supposed to be a debate yesterday. She didn't show up. Her opponent showed up.
No? Where was
she? He's just standing there. She decided not to go. She skipped it for the second annual, quote, self-care fair.
Well,
that was going on. You can't make it up.
This is a whole nother term that we've just invented over the last 10, self-care.
Self-care fair?
Yes, it's a self-care fair.
Okay. Everybody just sits in lounge chairs and sips wine.
This is with another councilwoman in honor of Crime Victims Rights Week. Yes.
Okay, I don't know how the two come together, but okay.
Well, what her opponent, Christian Weiss Smith, is saying, it's like, you know, she should be here. I mean, she hired this guy, Nathan Wade, for almost $1 million. That leaves the rest of us vulnerable. It hurts everyone in Fulton County.
No, she was just doing self-care, okay?
Yeah, she was taking care of herself. You got to in that kind of high-pressure gig, man.
Apparently.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know where this race stands, this primary?
No.
According to Fox 5 Atlanta, Fani is leading the race by a staggering 70 points.
You got to be kidding me.
So if you think people are going to vote different in a primary, they're not.
No.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I wouldn't debate either.
Why do you think she's going out to all the churches and telling people, hey, they're coming after me because I'm a black woman in power?
And it's, by the way, it's Fani. It's not Fanny.
Yeah.
Okay?
Fani. Fani.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
It's spelled Fanny. It's spelled Fanny like your ass, right, Fanny? But when she became DA, she decided to add a little French, a little fancy, Fawny.
It's one of my favorite Trump takes of the year. A little French to it. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Saw this piece out of the New York Post. The media is propagating evil lies about the situation in the Mideast. I think this was Michael Goodwin. And it was interesting because as I was reading this piece, I was thinking about an interview that I just heard. More on that in a second. He wrote, "We now have clear proof of the adage that a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth can put its boots on." It comes from the Associated Press and a report that carried this headline. Hamas official says group would lay down its arms if an independent Palestinian state is established. He writes, what a scoop. It was so sensational that the news outlets across America and the world ran with it, including CNN, ABC, even the Times of Israel. And why not? It was a breakthrough offer that could bring peace at last, right?
Nope.
Right.
It was a public relations ploy disguised as an olive branch. The way other organizations swallowed it hook, line, and sinker illustrates how Hamas skillfully plays Western news organizations and gullible journalists. And the thing is, this has been going on, well, in some ways, for decades, years and decades. And it reminded me of the conversation between Dr. Jordan Peterson and Mossad Hussein Youssef, I think I got the name right, who is the son of the founder of Hamas. And they're having this conversation about how we got to where we are now in the Middle East. And it's been, you know, pretty well known that Hamas will use children and women as human shields.
Well, yeah.
They do this.
Yeah.
And so as this conversation is unfolding and Youssef is talking about what it was like for him as a kid, which is just insane and sad, Peterson dials it down to this.
It's the suffering of children produces an influx of foreign aid that's then pocketed, essentially.
Yes, because on one hand, they delegitimize Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel become a child killer.
Right, right.
Then there is no one in the world that does not sympathize with children dying.
Right.
Right, so you get everyone on their side,
yeah.
After a while, and we've seen that, you know, unfold. It goes on.
The international community don't know the reality 100% on the ground. They don't understand this game. Even up to now, they see Hamas using children as human shields, mm-hmm. which is very obvious. This is what Hamas wanted from this war. The international community is still in denial.
Mm-hmm.
When children die, this will lead to more chaos. It would lead to war. It would lead to, today, a global chaos.
And then talks about all these other countries. And then the aid comes in to Hamas. And at least for now, just the way this part of the conversation sort of wraps up.
Yes, but the world is in denial because it's much easier to condemn Israel. You know, when we have close to 2 billion Muslims repeating a certain narrative a false narrative that is baseless, that say Palestine, and we say the very foundation of this narrative, there's no such a thing as Palestine. It never existed. But everybody suddenly became a pro-Palestine. All the
It fits into the oppressor-oppressed narrative, right?
It's the victim absolutely. Narrative. It's a victim mentality.
Which is, basic Marxism, which is being taught in universities all across the country. And so this is how they relate to it. Isn't that your takeaway, David?
Yeah, that Israel is kind of a stand-in for conquest and certainly white supremacy. Mm-hmm. That's why they've taken up the Palestinian cause. A lot of these college kids have never actually been taught the history of the so-called Palestinian people, and never have had to consider the question: why is it that this same group of people has been chased out of multiple Arab nations in the Middle East?
Never gets talked about. No. The uncomfortable truth. Yes. So you got that going on.
Well, and everybody's on board. I mean, all the major networks are on board.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you've seen it. Every night you see it.
It's all coordinated.
I mean, it is really, really remarkable. And again, I'm really not surprised by anything at this point in my life. I'm really not. But this is the most surprising turn of events I believe I've ever seen, period.
It's almost like they're not even trying to hide the game anymore.
No.
It's just wide out in the open for anybody that wants to see it.
And you can say it without repercussion, without a blowing back on you.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's remarkable how you've taken one group of people and vilified them and wished their death more than once, and it's acceptable.
Correct.
It's just like, oh, well, it's just these kids on the campuses. It's really remarkable.
At the same time,
I can't think of any other any other population in this country where that would be allowed. None.
I agree. At the same time, this is going on. You have people on the left saying, we're one vote away from the end of democracy.
Yeah. So, Andrew Weissman, he was the lead prosecutor for the Mueller investigation into Trump, which was a cooked-up plot aimed at destroying a duly elected president. If you remember the whole history of the Russian collusion conspiracy theory, starting with the Hillary Clinton campaign getting laundered to the FBI, and then we're off to the races. Trump is a Russian spy and has been since 1991 or so, and all that nonsense that was going on. This guy, Andrew Weissman, is very worried that the Supreme Court will end democracy by agreeing that Trump has some level of immunity from criminal liability in the whole January 6 cases against him.
What a joke.
I mean, I know it sounds like hyperbole, but I think your opening is so correct that we are essentially, as Neil put it, one vote away from sort of the end of democracy as we know it, with checks and balances. And to say it's an imperial...
Checks and balances? Look at what's going on right now. It's so ridiculous, these play actors.
And to say it's an imperial presidency that would be created is frankly saying it would be a king. He would be criminally immune. And that is what is so shocking, is how close we are.
The Biden justice system has gone after Trump and protected Biden. Again, anyone that's looking into it at all comes to that conclusion.
Yeah.
If you're not just taking headlines and trusting legacy media.
Well, again, and this guy was a lead prosecutor in a completely fictional conspiracy theory that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. That was actually...
How can you trust that guy ever again?
Where the FBI knowingly lied about supposed connections in order to spy on Donald Trump. I mean, that is a bigger threat to democracy than anything that happened on or during the lead-up to the Capitol riot.
Or the way they completely controlled social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's several examples.
The guy's a stone-cold loser.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't.
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
Yeah.
Four more years.
That's what they need, pause. Four more years with Joe Biden. I saw someone say over the weekend they thought that was going to cost him the election because the Republicans are going to use that. That the guy's so out of it, he cannot understand what instructions the teleprompter's telling him. And he actually says the word pause.
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
It also might have something to do with the economy and his handling of the border, other things. But pause. Speaking of the economy, Wall Street Journal piece today, rising food prices send more shoppers to Aldi. How about that?
Yeah.
Keeping prices low with smaller stores, fewer staffers, and a slimmer menu of product choices than bigger supermarkets. So they can pass that savings on to you.
Well, there's no shelf. They just pull the boxes open and put them up there.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. Yeah.
When's the last time you were in an Aldi?
Not that long ago. Sometimes with the smoothies, you get the fruit there. It's fairly cheap.
Hold on a second. Who took Robbins
I didn't say I made them. I said I buy the ingredients, so they are made. Yes.
Oh, that's the influence
of
a certain lady.
Yes.
I got it. Okay. Because you were anti-smoothie
I was. And then I went out and bought a blender and I bought all this other stuff. So, yeah, I'm on board
now. Did you do that on your own or were you with?
Well, there was some, let's just say, persuasion going on. Yes.
Okay. So, yes, Aldi's got an uptick because of the economy right now.
I get it.
But, again, if you talk to economists, it's you people trying to save money on your grocery bill, you just don't know how good you have it.
Yeah, right. It's vibes, right? That
yes.
It's right. Still, gosh, that is like that. I hate that word now, vibes, because you have all these dorks saying, well, if you look at the macro environment in the U.S. economy, there are underlying fundamentals that are pretty good and blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, people are taking out credit cards to pay for groceries, okay? I don't care what your stupid spreadsheet says. People are hurting right now, and generally they get a little resentful, and they say, well, the economy kind of sucks as a result.
Yes.
But it's vibes.
They point out in the story, like, the Aldi company's barbecue sauce is like $1.50 compared to $3 for Sweet Baby Ray's, which Aldi's also carries. And I don't know if your mind works this way, but it could be with a number of different foods. I may like the other better, but is it twice as expensive better? Probably not.
I just like the creative way they put it, they package it, like Sweet Ray's Baby. You know, I mean, it's always something, like just a word off brand, you know.
Instead of Ray, they just use Bay.
Yeah, Sweet Bays.
Something like that.
Yes.
Also saw this. And it reminded me of the Friday Five we had the other day. Because you remember the whole college admission scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody went to jail. And if I remember right, David at the time was heartbroken.
Well, I was. Yeah, it was Aunt Becky from Full House.
Hmm.
Yes. And, you know, she's doing interviews about this now. And you know what song she quotes when she talks about this?
No.
No.
Because it seems sort of like... I don't know, victim mentality, at least to me. But she quotes Chumbawamba.
Chumbo, I get knocked down and I get up again?
Yes. That's what she's quoting after all of the scandal.
Now, you remember, she was the one that hired somebody who did Photoshop to make it look like her girls were... college-level rowers.
Yes.
Yes, that is true.
And that was one of the ways that they got accepted into the university that they were applying for.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But she gets knocked down.
It sounds like she's the victim here, to be honest. And she's going to keep singing that song.
I beat the school.
Yes. She was doing an interview for First for Women magazine. Every day we're met with different obstacles, but for me, it's like the song says, I get knocked down, I get up again. Okay.
Thank you, Aunt Becky.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Boy, the shine is off there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Boy, oh boy. All right. Boy, a lot to catch up on as far as our no BS election update. Where does everything stand right now? We'll get to that and much more straight ahead right here.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't.
My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit NoTimeToWait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. It is time for our update.
Let's do it.
It's the Markley Van Camp and Robbins 2024.
Are you running? Are you not running?
No BS update. Everything you need to know without all the crap.
I'm allowed to do an RSRC.
Yeah, 4 more years.
Pause.
From Election Betting Odds, from Maxim Watt and John Stossel. All together, Joe Biden at 45.6% today, Trump at 44.1%.
Interesting.
But that's not the regular Vegas odds on that, just so you know. Trump's still a slight favorite there. And then you look at the battleground states, and Trump is ahead in all but one.
Yeah, that hasn't changed.
So
it's
not
been
sure.
Been that way for a while now. And Fetterman, if Fetterman can just bring home Pennsylvania.
You know who's third?
Kennedy.
Correct.
Yeah.
How about fourth?
What, is it going to be Michelle Obama again?
It is. You're on a roll today, Rob.
Nostradamus has arrived.
Fifth? No way you're going to get the fifth, too. There's no way.
Oh, boy.
Pressure's on.
It is. To get five in a row. Golly, who's fifth? Christy Noem.
No.
I just threw it out there.
Kamala.
Oh, Mamala. Yeah.
Now, as far as Trump's pick for VP, Christy Noem was in second for the longest time behind Tim Scott.
Until the dead dog thing happened. Yeah. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Tim Scott has not killed any dogs that we're aware of.
Christy Noem has dropped to seventh.
Yeah.
Yeah, said 4.4%. Once at like 20%, now at 4.4%. Nikki Haley's ahead of her now.
Yeah, no one succeeds when the headline is Christy Noem defends shooting a puppy. I mean,
it's really misleading.
It is very misleading.
Well, it is, but
I think given the context that I've seen, her actions are defensible. But what's not defensible is putting it down in a book when you think you're going to be the running mate for Donald Trump, because that's really stupid.
Okay, is the thought behind that, and I don't, maybe you already know this, we're probably getting into trying to, you know, read minds from her and her team, to make it seem like she's tough.
Yeah.
She will take care of anything. She doesn't need anybody else. She will take care of business. And if that means running a farm and you've got a dog that's, like, aggressive, and attacking, you know, other animals,
yep.
people, she's going to take that dog out herself because she's a strong woman.
Yeah.
Okay, but you got to understand the public hears that story. They don't understand farm life. For us, the other day, it was like, okay, yeah, that sort of thing happens. But you probably don't put it in a book.
No, you don't.
That's one of those things that you just sort of, you know, you bury it deep in your emotional well, and the only person you ever talk to about it is a bottle of Jack Daniels.
That's it. And not even your spouse. Not no one. No one knows.
I think you tell the family.
No, I don't think you can. They could turn on you, too.
Okay, I don't think my kids were going to turn on my Grandpa Turner because he took out a dog because it attacked the neighbor's animals. Okay, that was just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, right between the eyes, I don't think Buster knew what hit him. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Well, that was his way of saying he wasn't in any pain.
Yeah, right. I know. I know he wasn't. I'm sure.
I was a kid. I was a kid when it happened. I was like, "Oh my God, she shot Buster!"
That's what happens. I mean, it does on the farm. That happens.
Yes, it does.
Animal breaks its leg or whatever, it dies.
Oh yeah, you saw. Well, someone clubbed a cat to death, didn't he?
It was a cat. It was
the neighbor guy.
I went over and told him. I said, "Hey, the cats. I think I have a broken leg." Oh, okay. Walks out with a pipe. Boom, boom.
Oh yeah, you were weeping at
the time. Well, yeah.
I mean, that's like 4 years old, man.
That guy might have had a screw loose. Okay,
yeah,
you don't beat a cat to death in front of children.
I mean, it was really just one shot to the head. That was it. I mean, it was over. But
wow, all
right. I thought he was going to set it. I honestly did.
Show. I'm Jamie Markley, Gen Xer, David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Old Bernie's still out there.
Yeah.
That just makes you laugh?
Well, it's just every time I hear him talk, it's some kind of crazy, nonsensical, goofball, nut job speak. it entertains me on some level. I mean...
What a fraud that guy is.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know who takes him seriously anyway. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure there are those, but
that does not make any sense.
He's a total fraud. And
he is.
I think he's also now sort of saying, oh my gosh, what have I created? Because a lot of the far left loons look at him as like the godfather. He's like, wait a minute, I was just trying to make money.
I was talking about socialism, not this crazy Marxism, communism.
Yeah. Well, and he got put in the hot seat a little bit because Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar, who definitely likes Bernie Sanders, said Jewish students who aren't protesting Israel on campus should be protected from anti-Semitism, even though they are, in her words, pro-genocide.
What a nut.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So one of her political heroes, Bernie Sanders, was asked about those comments on CNN.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, someone?
She said some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Is that something that you're comfortable with that?
Well, I don't know exactly. Look, what I think the essential point that Ilhan made is that we do not want to see anti-Semitism in this country. And I think the word genocide is something that is being determined by the International Court of Justice. Mm-hmm. But this is what I will say. I don't think there's any doubt that what Netanyahu is doing now, displacing 80% of the population in Gaza is ethnic cleansing. That's what it is.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I need to somehow keep my credibility.
Yeah, right.
At the same time, say what I think she's talking about is we just don't want to, you know, kill these students. Okay? We don't want anti-Semitism, but let me tell you something about that guy.
Well, did you see also at Columbia, because that's where all of this kind of started, or the recent wave did, I guess in about half an hour, university officials are moving to a new phase in dealing with the encampment at Columbia.
What's this phase called?
Apparently, it means mass suspensions, which is like that should have been done from the beginning.
Yes.
Hey, look, you can protest all you want, but you're not going to try to harass and intimidate other students. You're not going to camp out. You're not going to occupy part of the campus, okay? We're not going to tolerate that. But they tolerated it, and they've been trying to negotiate. And so they sent out these letters. I guess they airdropped them on the camp or whatever. These things, they're like waivers that students are supposed to sign and okay. basically say, okay, you're acknowledging that you are in violation of university procedures, yada, yada, yada. And the students have responded by posting their responses on the that they've written on the little contracts that have been handed out. And one of them says, I ain't reading all that. Free Palestine, Columbia University. And another person scribbled on the little waiver thing that the university distributed, Columbia will burn. All right, man. Oh. It's time for some batons to the back of the skull. That's all I'm saying.
Man, oh, man. That's why you can't put up with this from the beginning.
Well, no. I mean, this should have been put down a long time ago.
We're not doing tents.
But every day they go, no.
Man, that is crazy. You know, I'm thinking about some of these professors are just as nuts as the pro-Palestinian kids. They're out there protesting.
Yeah.
We've heard that time and time again. And it is something, man, that all these kids are now saying, well, hold on a second. We want our records wiped clean, okay? Yeah. That if we got arrested, because mm-hmm. this could keep us from getting jobs when we get out of school.
Right. Yeah, because I don't know a lot of employers that are looking for pro-Hamas people.
Well, that's what happens when you, quote,
yes.
put your bodies on the line for what you mm-hmm. describe as justice. Right. That's just, you know, part of the deal. Wow. Okay.
Hey, I noticed we don't have enough pro-Hamas people working here. What do we do about that?
Okay. It sounds crazy to say. Does anyone remember what happened October 7th?
No. That's interesting you bring that up because that is a subject that isn't even tackled anymore. It's not even talked about.
I mean, it seemed like for maybe
move past
3 days, people were in agreement. That was...
Yeah.
Those were savages.
Yes. We all saw the videos. I mean, we saw it. It wasn't made up. We saw it.
And now we're hearing all these chants about the Intifada. It's just crazy. I don't know if you happen to hear this story about the AI death calculator. So this is Life to Vec. It's LIFE, the number 2 VEC. It is a death calculator invented by the United States and Danish scientists. The thing is, it's not even available yet for public or even corporate consumption. But people have heard about it, and then they go online and want to take the test to find out when they're going to die.
Oh, God.
And so it takes all these details from, you know, your life, including your income, profession, residence, health history, puts it all together. And apparently it's very accurate to predict when you're going to die.
Yeah, you better go out there and get your life insurance policy today. Because if they start running this crap on you later, they're not going to roll the dice for you anymore.
Can determine life expectancy correctly 78% of the time.
Jeez, man.
You want to take it?
No, hell no. No.
I found a back door in there, and I took it.
You did not. Did you really?
Yeah.
And?
I only got like 16 years.
Well,
I'm joking. I didn't. No, you can't. It's not available yet.
Good. Shouldn't be available. In the wrong hands, man, this is going to be bad. I'm telling you.
Well, yes, because you've got all of these, you know, accounts masquerading as this real thing. It's not. They're just taking all the people's information.
Yeah.
And then making a ton of money off of it. Man. Stealing identities. Yes. This first came out in December. And the software is stored at Statistics Denmark. But again, you got all these bootleg websites, so look out.
Dang.
And they're saying, hey, this has nothing to do with us. This isn't us.
Yeah, I mean, it's an evil plot for sure, but identity theft is so lowbrow. We're not
So obviously you would not take the test. David?
No, I would not. I don't.
All right.
No.
As the millennial, David, would you put in all of your current stuff just to see what it predicted?
If I knew for a fact that it wasn't going to be used for nefarious purposes, like identity theft, things like that, if I knew it was on the level, yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah. I think one of those things, at least I would take it today. If I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be used against me, whatever, out of curiosity. But certainly in my 30s, I would have done that.
Yeah. No way. I mean, being I'm the only one on the show that has died and come back, I'm just telling you.
Well, you wouldn't have taken this in your 40s either.
No, because I probably would have said you're going to be dead by 48. The kind of life you're living, buddy.
Okay, if you would have taken it, say, at 48. Yeah. Because your heart attacks were what, when you were 55?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming up on like 8 years, 9 years ago when your heart attacks happened. So if it said, hey, if you don't stop A, B, and C, would that have stopped you from like smoking, drinking?
You say that. Yeah. I go the other way. I'm like, well, life insurance is going to cancel me immediately, and you know, my health insurance premiums are going to go nuts. But you're right. I mean, if something would have told me that if you stop today, you can live another 20 years, I probably would have stopped it today.
Really?
Yeah, I probably would have, because I would have been that freaked out by it.
So this isn't such a bad thing, you're saying.
I can see it not being a bad thing, but I can also see it, like David said, I can see it being used for nefarious purposes, too.
But even back then, if there was a test you could take to know if you were going to have Alzheimer's, you would not have taken it.
No, I don't want to know that, man. I don't want to know that. I'd be afraid of every time I misplace my keys. Here we go. I would. I'd live like that, and I can't live that way. I can't.
Okay.
Where's the remote? Damn it!
Well, yeah, I understand that, but still, I mean, we've had this debate many times, you know, whether you would want to or not.
I'm forgetful enough the way it is.
This is something I think we can all agree on. This was also in the New York Post. A designer clothing brand in the UK debuted its new jeans that make it look like you peed your pants.
Well, you're not capable of doing it yourself anymore.
They're pre-stained. Well, I see the picture, and it's just slightly darker around the crotch area.
Are these, there's not one pair they're selling? I mean, this is like a manufacturing thing where, like, multiple sizes?
They sold out online.
Oh, God, see.
They were selling them for $810.
All right.
Okay. And you see the picture of it. They look ridiculous. And
Why would you do that?
Is it possible that the designers said, listen, if we say something's cool, there will be enough dopes out there that will pay the price. I'll bet you we could get some idiots to buy this for $810 if we just put it out there. And someone else in the room says, there's no way. That's just too far out there. People are not going to buy that. Well, let's try it. It's probably some sort of bet. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, that or, you know, R. Kelly's trying to make some money from prison.
Possible. Why don't they do it the other way? It's just call it touch cloth.
I feel so confident.
I'm sure that we could stain some jeans and put them on eBay if you want. The money to charity, if there's enough stupid people that would do, you know, something like that. I mean, I'm sure we could do it.
Markley Van Camp and Robin's pea-stained jeans on sale now.
All right, we got to get to a news update. And somebody got a tax bill for $34 billion. That story's straight ahead. A lot of people are nervous right now.
The world is getting crazier every day, and the economy, of course, is top of mind.
Can your savings weather this economic storm?
Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless.
Real estate can crash like in 2008.
Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards.
There are very few physical assets you can invest in that stand the test of time.
Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for thousands of years.
It's why people are flocking to it now, and why Birch Gold is busier than ever.
Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold.
And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket.
Text MVCR to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold.
Find out how easy it is to protect your money from an economic storm.
Text MVCR to 989898. That's MVCR to 989898 and secure your savings with Birch Gold today.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit NoTimeToWait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. It's the sound of $17.5 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. NHL playoffs are here. Basketball playoffs are here. Baseball is here. It's a great time to check out Prize Picks.
Yeah, it's the simplest way to get in on the action. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and submit your lineup.
Yeah, it's pretty darn simple to do, too. Prize Picks even offers their injury insurance so that your lineups stay in play, even if one of your guys gets hurt. And if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss.
So if you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. And all you have to do is pick more or less on the stat projections of at least two players.
Now, you don't have to worry about messing around with lineups, with Prize Picks. It is really simple. And that's why more than 5 million people have downloaded the app.
Yeah, download the app today and use code MBCR for a first match deposit up to $100. That's code MVCR on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100.
Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Okay, so David, I know you're keeping an eye on Columbia's president saying negotiations with protesters have failed.
Yeah, and it looks like NYPD is getting ready to go in and clear out the dirty communists.
Unbelievable.
Which,
man.
I mean, I think they gave them a 2 o'clock Eastern deadline. So here in the next 10 minutes or so, we may be getting some really funny video out of Columbia University. Because I mean, the reality is these kids got defeated by a banana. I mean, I know that was at UCLA, but UCLA, the people forming the encampment or autonomous zone or whatever the hell they're calling it, they were outraged because apparently one person there has a serious allergy to bananas and somebody showed up with a banana. And it crumbled.
Wow.
Man, you lob bananas in there, they'll start scattering like flies. Just go. You know what?
Do they live by Mario Kart rules? Like, what's happening?
Well, part of that thing the other day that I played part of it, play part of it again, was the UCLA student who is Jewish holding up the Jewish flag saying, don't be afraid of these people, to other Jewish students. And this professor saying, can you move out of the way?
Yeah.
And move to the side. It's by this fountain. And then he just starts saying, yeah, this is a UCLA professor right here. Yeah. Yeah, can you explain what's going on?
I can go somewhere else. I don't want to be next to
him. And he says,
this is a professor here at UCLA University.
Yes, I am, and I'm talking about the truth. It's a genocide.
What's your
problem?
You clearly don't know what the definition of a genocide is.
I don't know.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is a professor.
I don't know what the definition
UCLA.
Of a genocide is.
She doesn't know the definition of a genocide.
And if you've heard this before, it goes on, she really can't explain it.
She has somebody else, right, to help
her
out?
She's asking.
Yeah. Like phone a friend.
And then
yeah.
And that's not what's happening right now in Gaza. And it just goes on from there.
Yep.
Man, oh, man. Did you hear about this dude in Pennsylvania that got a tax bill for $34 billion?
What?
Yes.
$34 billion?
Barry Tangert. Two pieces of tax information. He got it last week. First, there was a refund check from the federal government for $900. The second one was a tax bill saying that he owed the state $34
billion. Jeez.
Okay. He said he had a feeling that might have been a blunder.
Yeah,
especially since he makes less than $100,000 a year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
So apparently, Barry's tax preparer noticed a mistake on his 2022 return and filed an amendment. He doesn't know how the $34 billion error was made, if the tax preparer made a mistake, or if there was a glitch in the tax system.
Holy cow.
In any event, he was able to get through the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue and get the situation resolved. Wonder how long he had to be on the phone for that.
Oh, jeez. No, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Pack of lunch, man.
Yes, the first guy he called picked up the phone and says, well, are you sure you don't owe $34 billion? You know, we have very generous repayment plans.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like the one, too. Well, hang on. Let me put you in touch with... No, no, don't. Don't. Don't put me on hold. Nobody will ever pick up on the other end.
I think I told you this was like less than a month ago. And it was 45 minutes. Oh. And all of a sudden, and it's, you know, some sort of hold music crap. Yeah. And all of a sudden, gone.
Gone. I've had gone. That happen too. Yep. Yeah. Very efficient. Yes.
And it's one of those things, I think we're talking like $45. And hey, man.
Yeah.
As being called Captain Thrifty, $45 is something.
That's right.
But then you start calculating in your head, how long on hold?
Yeah. What's my time worth?
And then it's one of those, if you keep reminders on your phone, yeah, call back those tax people. And then you get to the time of the reminder, you're like, oh, I don't have time to wait on hold for an hour right now.
No, you can't. And they're not available on weekends, so forget it.
Right. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do that just during the show at some point in time. You just keep checking back in to see if they're ever going to pick up. Yeah, we'll see what happens. This is the Mark Lee Van Camp and Robin Show.
You ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, David, what's the latest? These Columbia students said, we're not going to go. Is that the deal?
Yeah, the students at Columbia University have been given a 2 p.m. Eastern deadline to clear out their Gaza Solidarity encampment. And I'm sorry, I can't say it without laughing. It's so funny to me. But
it's hilarious.
And the president of the university said, yeah, you got until 2 o'clock Eastern to get out, or we're going to potentially start suspending some of you. And they have said, no, you're not going to move us. We are not budging from our encampment. Got a whole vibe thing
this
going on.
One entitled female saying, and we will not leave until our demands are met.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Where you're investing your money, Columbia. Like, who are you?
So,
exactly. Yeah, who are you?
So
why are you don't demand. You don't get to do that. Okay? You don't get to.
You can, I guess. You can play stompy foot, but you're not going to get anything. Go judge Smales. You'll get nothing and like it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you can throw a baseball 110 miles an hour, drain threes all day long, you can demand.
Yeah.
A salary,
yes,
but you can't demand a university is
going to stop
where it's spending its money.
You can't demand your team all of a sudden to cut association with something you don't like.
No.
So,
this doesn't work anywhere else in the world, in life. It just doesn't.
It's time to just, it's well past time to just say, okay,
absolutely.
Look, you want to stand in solidarity with Gaza? We keep hearing about how you're putting your bodies on the line and all that. Okay, you're expelled from this institution. You violated the guidelines of the university. You're expelled. You're gone. Bye. Have fun telling mom and dad.
It is the strange thing because the university is at least partially responsible.
Yeah.
Because they foment this.
Well, yeah.
And have been for years. And, you know, talking to some friends about it over the weekend, and listen, I know different college professors that are very good at what they do, and they're sane. It's not like all these people are just total kooks like what you see oftentimes, the ones going out and joining the protests. But you think so many people, when they're around college age, over time their views change because you realize at that moment in my life, I didn't know anything about anything. And the dangerous part was I didn't know that I didn't know.
Yeah. Right.
When you know you don't know, you know you got something to learn. A lot of these people think they already know, and obviously they don't on a number of different issues. But you go out into the real world, and then you understand a little bit more as time goes on how things work and what's reality and what's not. And is it as simple as so many of these professors and administrators have been in this sort of university bubble for so long, they believe that's reality?
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
No, I think
like,
so.
They really feel held hostage to this. Like, oh my gosh, we have to listen to them. And look, I mean, they showed even at USC that you could actually remove protesters from that university. You could actually, like, no, you can wave your sign, you can do all that stuff, but you're not going to occupy part of campus.
But the other part, man, and again, I'll say it this way, because it's not to disparage a whole group of people, because there are a lot of great professors and a really smart, a lot of smart people that are teaching students at universities. However, if we're to be honest, we also know several that honestly couldn't hack it in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ended up teaching. That's okay, but it's also something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
There are a lot of failed people at college universities as far as failed in their line of work, but they could get a job teaching it. That's happened several times.
Which is really interesting. Yeah.
I mean, you can think of what, I bet you five people off the top of your head.
Yes.
And that's not to say they're bad people or anything else,
yeah.
But it, like, media treats it as, well, the leaders of this institution have spoken, and we all need to pay attention.
I worked with one
of
them.
Do we?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You just wonder. So yeah, we'll see where this goes. There could be some hilarious video that comes out over the next 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And these clueless people. Meanwhile, the bedrock tenets of democracy are being tested, said yeah. Who?
Little George Stephanopoulos. He's a news anchor.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Yeah, George Stephanopoulos, a former Clinton war room operative, who now is a news anchor and very unbiased, absolutely even-keeled, right? He opened up the Sunday morning show, ABC's This Week, in a very, very professional and serious journalistic manner.
Okay, roll it.
The scale of the abnormality is so staggering that it can actually become numbing. It's all too easy to fall into reflexive habits, to treat this as a normal campaign.
Are you talking about the Biden crime family?
No.
No, he's not.
Oh,
no.
He's talking about Donald Trump.
Of course he is, yeah.
Oh, got it.
Where both sides embrace the rule of law, where both sides are dedicated to a debate based on facts and the peaceful transfer of power. But that is not what's happening this election year. Those bedrock tenets of our democracy are being tested in a way we haven't seen since the Civil War. It's a test for the candidates, for those of us in the media, and for all of us as citizens.
Oh.
You hack. Just hacky.
What a propagandist.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Stop the pretense of journalism. I'd have more respect for you if you did that.
Well, they...
Sure.
But they've got to... They're going to hammer the threat to democracy thing as much as possible.
Yes.
Because that's kind of all they have. They try to float out other things about, oh, Donald Trump bad, and Joe Biden, oh, yeah, the economy is roaring right now. You just are too dumb to understand it. They try to do all of those things that all fail. So they think that, you know, the threat to democracy, and that's why we have to lock up the guy running for president against Joe Biden.
Yes. The border's secure, too.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And if we say, no, we can't take any more, the Statue of Liberty will literally start weeping. Tears will come down the statue's face.
Yes.
You know that.
I know.
It goes on and on. By the way, speaking of the Biden crime family, did you see this story? You know, legacy media is never going to cover this stuff. House GOP raises alarm over Biden family's alleged business with Qatari officials.
Uh-oh.
Okay, remember when Tony Bobulinski went and testified?
Yeah.
I think we even had a bet on the show. Will legacy media even cover that he testified today? I think Robbins won that bet against you, David, because they didn't cover it.
Yeah, they didn't talk about it at all. I was kind of surprised by that.
That's how far it's fallen with legacy media, because that was a huge story. But this new report alleges Biden's younger brother, James Biden, was in business with Qatar officials there. James Comer, the House Oversight Chairman, who's leading the corruption-focused impeachment inquiry into Biden, responded to the report from Politico, of all places, with a post on social media on X that said, the Bidens don't sell a product, service, or set of skills. It's simple. The Biden family is selling access for millions of dollars to those around the world willing to pay for it. And Joe Biden continues to lie about the role he played in the influence peddling schemes. So the Politico report is centered around testimony by this fund manager, Michael Lewitt. This was in a Kentucky bankruptcy court, indicating James Biden partnered with Qatari government officials to secure money for healthcare ventures. Remember the whole James Biden with the healthcare, and it went belly up?
Yep.
It had the money, though. Now, James Biden has already given testimony for the House impeachment inquiry. And he denied, of course, that his brother Joe had any involvement in his business activities, and also rejected a previous Politico report that said he invoked his brother's names to promote the hospital chain, which we had talked about at the time. Legacy Media never talks about it. But there was another report by the Daily Wire that revealed during the deposition, and it showed James Biden told the IRS that Hunter Biden, the president's son, told him he was in business with a protege of Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
Wow.
And you're reading this going, okay, what's going to happen with all this? And it's a great question. We don't know.
Nothing.
Probably. But it's interesting because you look at some of the countries that the Bidens were in business with. And if it's, say, Ukraine, wow, we've been pretty nice to Ukraine as far as helping fund their war. And you think China. Remember the old balloon that just kind of wafted through over the United States for days and days? Haven't been all that tough on China. And then Qatar, where you have the Hamas officials hiding out right now. And we don't call that out as an administration or as a country. It's really interesting. But again, it won't get a whole lot of play with legacy media. But that's certainly going on. Meanwhile, as we talked about earlier today, Kristi Noem continues to defend killing the dog that she had.
Dog killer.
Well, yeah. I mean, the headlines.
All I can think of, that scene in Vacation, Chevy Chase, the dog.
Oh, gosh.
And then the ant, dog killer.
Yeah.
Anyway, as she said, if you hadn't heard the story, this story is like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it was a farm dog. And why did she kill the dog, David?
Well, the dog had apparently had a violent streak and had killed some of her neighbor's chickens. And so she put the dog down.
By shooting it.
She shot it, yes.
Yes. So media has freaked out over this.
Yeah.
And you had a clip from CNN earlier where the woman there is just, she was so sad about it. And she said, you know, in her way, so sad.
I have to say, this story just made me incredibly sad, Matt. I mean, like, it's, there have been some notes about life on a farm. It can be different. Those of us who live here in the, you know, urban centers and et cetera. Yeah. This is not something I've ever encountered. But we don't live in a time where she didn't have the option to put out an ad in the paper and say, or, you know, call her friends and be like, where can I find another home for this dog?
Yeah,
where can I find another home for the dog that'll kill your chickens?
Yeah, right.
No.
I mean, and the thing is, it's not even just, now the farm ranch life kind of stuff, that's where you might take the dog out and handle it yourself. But, I mean, dogs do get put down every day in this country, sadly, and there are a lot of different reasons for it. But after they attack another animal, it happens all the time because that dog can no longer be trusted around animals. And if you can't trust it around other animals, you're worried what's it going to do to a human potentially.
Well, yeah, or a dog that attacks a human, they get put down.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Kristi Noem said, I can understand why some people are upset about a 20-year-old story of Cricket. Just the name Cricket, too. She brings it up of this. She could have said this dog, but of Cricket.
Yeah.
one of the working dogs at our ranch in my upcoming book. The book is filled with many honest stories of life, good and bad days, challenges, painful decisions, and lessons learned. Fact is, South Dakota law states that dogs who attack and kill livestock can be put down. Given that Cricket had shown aggressive behavior toward people by biting them, I decided what I did. Okay. Yes. Yeah, she took Cricket to a gravel pit near her farm. Shot it. Yeah. Well, and the other part was she described the dog as less than worthless and untrainable.
You can't have dogs marauding around killing chickens and biting people. No.
I understand. So if it came down to it and you were out just visiting the farm that day, Scott, and they said, you got to put the dog down, could you have pulled the trigger?
I couldn't, but somebody I know could. Where's David? Get David on the
phone. Hold on. Could you do it for 50 grand?
Yeah.
Okay. See, everybody's got a price.
I blow my own hand off for 50 grand.
10 grand?
Yeah.
5 grand?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Oh, news in the health world straight ahead.
Hey there, you in aisle two. I see you by the fiber and laxatives. You still using those to manage your constipation with belly pain? If your symptoms keep coming back, you may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. So you may need more than over-the-counter treatments to manage it. Ask your doctor about how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
It's no secret, when you spend less money on running your business, you get to keep more money. It's simple math.
And that can be a tall order right now because everything is so expensive. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle.
Reduce costs and headaches with the number one cloud financial system.
NetSuite brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth.
You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite.
With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required.
You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so you do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite.
By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/MVR.
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 The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Thank you very much for being here, Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. NPR reported this. I also saw it at Hot Air. Details coming to light. Delta Airlines had another little bit of a problem on Friday. It's a Boeing jet.
Jeez, yeah.
Problem showed up shortly after Flight 520 took off from JFK Airport in New York. The issue was initially reported as one where the passengers and crew heard a loud noise.
Yeah.
Coming from the vicinity of the plane's right wing, detected a vibration. Turned out, well, the plane's emergency exit slide had deployed and fallen off.
Unbelievable. Here we go again.
The what?
The emergency exit slide had deployed and then fallen off.
Fell off, huh?
Yeah, fell off.
Yes.
Fellas, is that normal for things to just start falling off of airplanes?
Jeez. What, is like Boeing like IKEA?
There was the door on that one.
I don't understand what's going on.
Emergency. I don't think anyone was hurt. There is a search underway to locate the missing parts.
Good thing you didn't need it for anything.
This was not a Boeing 737 MAX class, however. It's a 767-300 model.
Well, spread the incompetence around.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Well, And that's one of the things people that had worked at Boeing talked about. There were owners much more interested in profits than making sure quality was a priority.
Yeah, I read this too, though.
Lee, what, is somebody assembling it and going, yeah, but do we really need to put washers on this? Nah.
Right, exactly. Whatever. No, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like this mindset of good enough or needs work, and good enough, yeah. I think. Yep, it's fine.
Pass the good enough inspection. Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
It's not totally, you know, real good, but it, I think good enough.
Yeah, it'll hold kind of for a little while.
Oh, man.
The idea is you create this problem and you have to buy more jets that way. They used to do with the car business.
All I could think, too, is you're talking about the emergency slide.
Yeah.
Biden's thinking, man, maybe you get something like that, like an escalator I could get on these planes. So I don't have to take the stairs.
Right, there you go.
Something like that, that would be good. And that's from Health News today. Taking the stairs instead of the elevator lowers your risk of an early death by 24%.
I could see that.
You can?
Yeah. It's physical exercise of some kind, exertion.
I guess it depends on how many flights of stairs are we talking about.
In this, where we are, it'd be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, 12 floors every day.
Yeah,
oh, you're thanks. Getting your exercise. You're getting your steps. There's no doubt about it.
Die on the sixth floor.
Yeah. It said from this study, people were 39% less likely to die from cardiovascular disease.
No.
24% likely, less likely to die from any cause.
I believe that. Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting. All right, I'll be taking the stairs then. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. Biggest story today, David.
Well, I don't, it's the one I'm most interested in is what happens next at the, what are they calling it? The Gaza Solidarity Encampment at Columbia University.
Yes.
As the deadline has come and gone for the students to leave after negotiations failed to reach a peaceful resolution. So
I don't know what this means, but we're seeing some people like walk out in a line.
Yeah, I think the cops are coming in now and. Hopefully it'll be orderly. I like an idea that was floated out on Twitter. Somebody tell the migrants that those tents are for them. So then the migrants show up and no one knows what to do.
That would be fantastic. All right. Oh, you got your big three ready, Scott?
Yeah.
You got the trifecta and a news update straight ahead. Van Camp and Robin Show. Thank you very much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins.
Yeah.
Do have the trifecta and a few news update, David Van Camp.
Well, so a couple of different things to update you on. One, the protests at Columbia are still going on. Some professors have formed a human chain. They're not going to let the cops come in and take the kids out, although it seems like the kids are going to be let out of there. Another protest has popped up again at the University of Texas in Austin.
Just real quick before you get to that update, just a question. Is there an outbreak of COVID around? Why all the masks?
Oh, well, some of it's because they're hypochondriacs, and some of it is because they don't want their identities to be revealed.
Yeah.
See, they're very brave, but don't tell mom and dad.
Yeah, don't want mom and dad to find out what they're paying $65,000 a year for. Yeah.
But at the University of Texas at Austin, what they've done is they're on the south lawn, and they have formed like a circle, and they've got guys with folding tables out. They're putting the tables on their sides and using bike locks to latch them together to form some sort of wall. But they only have, as far as I've seen, they've got like three tables. So it's, I don't think they're going to be, the cops that are there are going to be dissuaded or repelled by some, you know, $20 folding tables personally. But the Texas State Troopers are there now, and it looks like they're getting ready to say, no, you, this is illegal. You're trespassing. You're going to go.
Future leaders in America came up with a plan, and it included three tables.
Yes.
we're screwed.
Real strategist there, huh? Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, the world is hurting right now. It's a lot of chaos going on, and I've sent you some audio, Jamie, and Scott has not heard this.
No, I haven't.
And it's Drew Barrymore. She has a talk show, you know, and she interviewed Kamala Harris. And she knows what the world needs, okay? Drew Barrymore does.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it together.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Oh, my gosh.
She'd say Mamala?
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
That's now watching the video. That's the only time I've actually ever felt kind of bad for Kamala Harris, because the moment is so awkward. You know how Drew Barrymore, I don't know if you've ever seen video of her show, she sits like uncomfortably close to the guests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is kind of odd to me. But, and as she's saying, we need you to be Mamala of the country. There was that little bit of real Kamala Harris. You could see it in the back of her mind where she's like, what'd this lady just say to me?
Like, this is even cringy for me.
Yes.
Like, I'm having a hard time leaning into this right now.
Well, that whole show is so cringe anyway. I mean, it's all like that. She sucks up to everybody on that show.
Yes.
I mean, it's a love fest.
Yes, that's what her whole shtick is. And it used to be she would be in the occasional movie with Adam Sandler and fine enough. And then you see what's happening.
Ugh.
And it's so annoying. You can't ever see her the same again. There, you know.
We are Mama Love.
Wasn't that, you remember the whole thing with her too? She was sideways with the left because she frolicked in the rain. Do you remember this?
Yeah, there was somebody who said something like, that was your white privilege because...
Yes.
Like, frolicking in the rain was supposed to be black people's thing, or I don't even remember what... It was so weird.
Yes, and then there's, like, apologies, and then... Was it the trans influencer that was on the show and you're talking about what an incredible... sort of figure you are to so many people, and I'm just so inspirational.
Did she want to get on her knees or something?
Yes.
Yeah, something weird
just
like that.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. Golly. The Mamala of the world.
Yeah. You used to really like her, Scott.
Drew Barrymore?
Yes.
Well, she's funky and bohemian-ish.
Yes.
You know, I thought she's a funky little flower, you know, harmless.
Yeah, like in the 90s, didn't she get up and flash Letterman?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you were like, man, I want that job. That was your take at the
time.
Well,
I mean, you know, anybody flashes you while you're at work, that doesn't suck, you know. No, but I mean, but the whole thing was very hippie, very bohemian-y kind of thing. And then she turned into this slobbering knucklehead. Mamala of the world?
I just love Slobbering Knucklehead. Could that be the name of an album?
Yeah, by her.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, you ready for your big three? Thank you for that audio, David. That was great.
Yeah, I don't know how I can go on.
Are you
I
ready?
Really don't. Okay.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day about this time, the Scott Robbins trifecta, helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Hey, Case.
Think he's ready? Yes.
Man, I'm not even going to talk to him today. I'm done with him. Okay.
Good.
Fine.
Three.
Number three, you want to talk about Biden's popularity and who he's less popular than.
This is crazy. And this is Gallup, by the way. Joe Biden is the least popular commander-in-chief at this point of his presidency in the last 70 years. He's dipped below Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter.
Man.
So according to a new poll that was done by the Gallup people, Biden notched a dismal 38.7% job approval rating for the first quarter. And again, this is Gallup. This isn't some funky, you know, far-right polling thing, right? He's 3 points lower than one-term George H.W. Bush at the same point in his presidency. We know how unpopular he was. Within about 6 months remaining before the election, Biden stands in a weaker position than any president prior incumbent ever. The end.
Wow.
Have 33.
Yeah.
And if you put it in other terms, he is just above having your tendon snipped by a pair of pliers.
How do you? I go down the list. I'm not going to take your time, but you know.
Now, on with the
I mean, how down. Does this happen? How can this happen that we're even this close right now? I
don't. Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day. Yeah. Up to number
two.
Number two, you want to talk about taxpayer dollars going to fund the pro Hamas revolutionaries.
Yeah, billions of American tax dollars helping fund many of these colleges and universities. I mean, we've talked about this and all the anti-Israel agitators that are currently there. More than $7 billion in taxpayer funds have been given to these schools. This year, Harvard has received $676.1 million.
Why?
Taxpayer money.
Why?
Your money. Princeton received $403 million. Yale, 776.8. Columbia, 1.2 billion. Penn received approximately 955.6 million. Brown, 173.7. Dartmouth at 133. And Cornell with 736.
And I forget the number, David. What is the number they're sitting on endowments? Like Harvard?
Gosh.
It's like crazy. It's billions. And so they're getting more money from the federal government. And at the same time, we have the federal government saying, we got to pay for these student loans.
It's valued at $50 billion.
Golly.
So we're going to fund the universities and fund the students to go there.
Yeah.
Why?
NYU, $805.5 million. I wish we had line item stuff on our taxes. Like an allocation on the side, like we can just vote for who our tax money is going to go to. We could choose.
That is insanity.
It is.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And the countdown continues.
Scott Robbins trifecta, top three.
How many tents does that buy? Yeah, go ahead.
One.
Number one, Biden is making it official, no menthol cigarette ban for now.
Apparently he's looked at the polls and, geez, so I guess there's a lot of menthol people who are pissed off because menthol cigarettes, the ban has been delayed now to what's being described as immense feedback. What the Biden administration says. They said they would again delay a decision on the regulation of menthol cigarettes.
Well, at first they were all about banning it. Now they're saying not so fast.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Right. It is about the black vote.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. It's not even being cynical. That's just fact. A senior administration official said it was hard to put a timeline on the delay, citing lingering disagreements after months of hard conversations. Historic attention has been being placed on this. What? What's the deal about the menthol?
I mean,
Historic attention has been paid.
Attention, got it. On the menthol cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they did another study and went, well, menthol is really not that bad for you. I mean, nothing's changed.
No.
Except the demographic has changed for Joe Biden.
Yeah, just wait a little bit longer on that.
The freaking election.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Yes,
these
of course.
Guys.
Four more years.
I would have loved it if the crowd would have said pause, too.
That would have been great.
That would have been the best. That would have been the whole Ron Burgundy then, yeah.
So the crowd had to know that this was like coming up on it, but didn't quite get there in time, so he panicked and...
Four more years.
They were supposed to say four more years.
Right.
Yeah. The call and response was all screwed up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good thing he wasn't leading the worship service.
And there you have it.
Well, he used to lead service.
Yeah.
In an all-black church. He
grew
up in
one. Puerto Rican church?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to another news update. And Nimrod's in the news straight ahead.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess-Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Oh, honey, it's our favorite leaf filter trusted pro, Matt. Matt, come in, come in.
Hi, Mrs. Sparks. You wanted me to stop by? Is everything okay with your leaf filter gutter protection system?
Okay. Of course, silly. We wanted you to stop by for dinner as our way of thanking you.
Yes, to thank you for that free gutter inspection, the free estimate, and what was the other thing?
That lifetime guarantee.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, those are just Leaf Filter's policies. Everyone who calls Leaf Filter gets a trusted pro to come out for a free gutter inspection and estimate. And every Leaf Filter installation comes with a lifetime guarantee.
So it's not just us?
No, sir. We don't want anyone to worry about clogged gutters ever again.
You mean everyone gets this level of service?
Everyone. They just need to visit leaffilter.com/vancamp to schedule their free inspection.
Okay, but you must be starving. You work so hard.
Ready to love your gutter protection as much as we do? Visit leaffilter.com/vancamp and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. You know a lot of people nervous right now. The world seems to be getting crazier every day, and the economy is top of mind.
Yeah, can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you put away for the future. Inflation, for example, can render cash worthless.
Yeah, real estate, too, can crash just like in 2008. And economies are built on a mountain of debt, and it's not long before that house of cards comes crashing down.
There are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for thousands of years.
That's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold.
And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text MVCR to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold.
You can find out how easy it is to protect your money from an economic storm. Text MVCR to 989898 and secure your savings with Birch Gold today. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, while the cowards in charge of Columbia University are hemming and hawing when it comes to trying to remove student protesters, the encampment people, the University of Texas, law enforcement in Austin there are not doing that. People started trying to set up an occupied zone on the South Lawn, and Texas State Troopers are moving in. At least one arrest has been made. They showed up wearing riot gear, so they were there to party. And there was a chant that was being said by the students there.
Why are you in riot gear? There's no riot gear. Why are you in riot gear?
There's no riot here. Why are you in riot gear? And I wish that somebody in uniform would say, because if you don't leave this grass, we will come and kick your ass.
Right. But, you know, copyright that, David, and send it, because it needs to be said.
Yeah. No, they are being very professional. The police are. They're going to go in, and they're going to handle business.
I'm watching it right now. This one kid, what was that, like an orangish kind of bleached hair,
yeah,
was getting hauled away, and there, yeah, was this other kid that was yelling at the cops, and all I'm thinking is, man, you're gonna be next. Better calm down, son. By the way, speaking of Texas, I don't know if you saw this. Texas filed a lawsuit today over the Biden administration's new Title IX rules for forcing public schools to allow trans-identifying males to compete in women's sports and use women's bathrooms.
Unbelievable.
So that's right after Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that you got to go to that length. Well, I mean, this is crazy.
By the way, I'm trying to remember this. I don't remember legacy media covering this story.
No.
The change in Title IX. Because they know that it's a loser with the people in America.
You know what's really interesting? I just saw this. The United Nations, some working group within the United Nations, actually put out a statement denouncing these changes to Title IX, saying you are putting women and girls at risk.
Holy smokes!
I didn't know that.
When the United Nations is actually coming out, one of the most corrupt Marxist organizations on the planet is coming out and saying, we need the Biden administration, we hope they backpedal on this.
But you're getting out of line, according to us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the new Title IX regulations prohibit schools from enforcing blanket bans on trans-identifying males in girls' sports. And that is set to take effect in August. So the Attorney General in Texas, Ken Paxton, filed a lawsuit, said Texas will not allow Biden to rewrite Title IX at whim, destroying legal protections for women in furtherance of his radical obsession with gender ideology. And yeah, there's so many people in the country fooled by Joe Biden. He's decent.
Oh, yeah.
He's a decent man, not
kindly,
like that
grandfatherly
Trump guy.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. He's not one of hate. Like Donald Trump, I know that gets you every time.
Every time.
The rolling of the eyes.
Every
yes.
time.
All right. Nimrod's time. Are we ready? Roll it out. Here we go.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrod's in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrod's in the News. We go to Los Angeles. Some people are like, did Snoop Dogg get busted? No, it wasn't Snoop. Some guy got pulled over with a dummy in his passenger seat that looked a lot like Snoop. He set it up in a hoodie and sunglasses. People online think he might have used a Snoop Dogg Halloween mask. Either way, it looked fairly realistic. Cop who pulled him over snapped a photo of it and cited the guy for multiple carpool lane violations. And then the California Highway Patrol posted the photo on Instagram. It's a good try, though. Yeah. Also, Pepsi had to recall more soda after another sugar mix-up. Remember a couple of weeks ago, they realized a bunch of their zero-sugar ginger ale was loaded with sugar?
Yeah.
Now more than 2,000 cases of Mug root beer that was supposed to have sugar didn't.
Yeah.
How does that keep happening?
I thought it said no sugar. My bad.
And that's Nimrod's in the News.